What I am driving at here is that there really is not, and never has been, a line of demarcation between any one race of humans and all of their fellows. People having mistaken the messenger for the message. There have always been only two different kinds of persons, one believing, the other unbelieving. One faithful, the other faithless. One being obedient, the other disobedient. These are far more the dividing lines than are such artificial constructs as Jew and Gentile, while forgetting that we are all members of the fallen Adamic race. There is none righteous, no, not one, was the exclamation of the prophet. We have all gone like sheep, each one to his own way, is a further elucidation of this same concept. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, should tell us all we need to know about seeking immortality on our own terms. These principles and matters did not change as we went from Old Testament to New Testament. They remain just as valid today as they were on the day following Adam's fall. The imputation, crediting, of the perfect righteousness of Christ and his boundless perfect faith is the only way out of this mess. If one thinks that by means of so-called prevenient grace or some other artifice of man that they can be pleasing to our God as a result of their own works, then they simply lack understanding of the gospel message. They are under the spell of another gospel, one in which wicked men suddenly and magically become transformed into something which it is simply impossible for them ever to become. And now, spiritual pride and human reasoning will all too quickly take the place of the written word of God, having become darkened once again, and all to no avail. Messiah as our substitute. That is the heart of what I am here referring to as messianism. Once again, no different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. The only material difference between the two being that one is form, while the other is substance. One is type, the other fulfillment. One is precursor, the other being the genuine article in all of its radiant splendor. Old Testament as shadow of things to come, while the New Testament is the actual thing itself. Not two different plans and programs, not two different dispensations, all one and the same program. The only difference being that the Old Testament looked forward to what was to become, while the New Testament records the actual coming itself in the form of eyewitness testimony. The coming one becoming the one who has come. Unbelievers never believing, either before, during, or after, whether Jew or Gentile. The disobedient continuing in their disobedience, whether Jew or Gentile. and the obedient being obedient, whether Jew or Gentile. Neither race nor religion nor philosophy being the ultimate determinants, but rather a pure heart and a believing spirit, whether Jew or Gentile, same in Old Testament as New Testament, the Messiah providing the continuity between the two, just as he is eternal and is said to come from eternity, so are the principles upon which rest the foundation of our belief or our unbelief. Only the props and the costumes changing, while everything else remains the same. We are told in the Old Testament that we will be able to stop sinning when the leopard can change his spots, or the Ethiopian can change his skin. Do you really think this has changed? And that simply because you live in years calculated as Anno Domini instead of before Christ? Just take a good look around you. Are men any different now than they were then? Just ask the victim of the rape or the robbery or the murder. Ask the person who has been enslaved by his evil neighbors. Just what exactly has changed, such that wicked men with minds and hearts full of fornication, lying, adultery, theft, and murder are somehow expected to walk in the paths of righteousness in any real and meaningful way? Think I'm being a little overly harsh? Then go turn on that one-eyed beast in your living room. Or go on the internet porn sites. Or go to the movies. And you will get far more of these things than you could ever even have imagined. And why is this? Because the best the natural man can hope for is to be a whited sepulcher, beautiful to look at from the outside, but not such a pretty sight or smell once one pulls back the thin veneer of the sarcophagus lid and takes a long, hard look while taking a deep breath. Ironically, nearly everyone will tell you how this is not so. Truly amazing. There it is, right in front of your face, and on every side of you, and all about you, but you will adamantly deny it, nevertheless. Doesn't sound like a very promising condition to me. This is why Messiah came to fulfill the law to the letter, in order to ransom his sheep out of this wicked state of affairs. We simply being unable to comply with even the simplest of commandments. Just how hard can it be anyway? Don't rob your neighbor. Don't rape your neighbor. Don't murder your neighbor. How can there even be a controversy about such matters? Yet we can easily be defined as predator or victim in any given situation. To the predator inside of me, I must not kill unless. I must not steal unless. I must not rape and defile unless. Amazingly, this is where the religious man of the cloth comes in. He will tell us when it is okay and when it is not, and how much money we must give him as our toll fee. But when it is I who am the victim, I will see these things in an entirely different light. There will be no unless, and I will be utterly disgusted by the religious authority who has diminished the gravity and seriousness of your crime. I will abhor your pretended man of the cloth, no matter how wonderful you tell me he and his religion are. Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No vacillating, no game playing, no hucksterism. No, it's okay just this one time, or you can do it without consequence to your soul because of. What a slippery slope that is sure to become, and all too rapidly. Our blessed Lord, able to look deep within the hearts and motivations of both perpetrator and victim, and able to judge wisely and righteously. Messiah being the only judge worthy of the name, it would seem. Bad didn't somehow become good, and evil did not somehow become righteous as we passed from prophecy to fulfillment. All remains the same, except that now believers will be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. They will be constrained by the law written in their hearts. They may use their conscience as their guide if they will but listen to it and obey it without recourse to flawed reasoning used to justify whatever action I see fit to be a part of on any given day. Mediating forces, tempering forces, remembrance of what is right and what is not, and how I should conduct myself in light of reality.